Good morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
You're welcome to this celebration of Holy Communion. This is the season of Lent, and one or two little changes to the norm throughout the rest of the year. Instead of the summary of the law this morning, we will be saying, as is the practice in the season of Lent, the Ten Commandments. And you'll find those on page 222. And also this morning, we shall not include the Gloria. That's a little later in the service, but hopefully I can direct you as appropriate when that moment comes. So we join together in saying, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We turn to page 222. Hear these commandments which God has given to his people and take them to heart. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me.
You shall love the Lord your God.
You shall not make for yourself any idol. You shall not dishonor the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy. Lord, have mercy on us. Write these your laws in our hearts. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness. You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbor. Lord, have mercy on us. Write all these your laws in our hearts. We continue on page 202. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The appointed prayer for this, the third Sunday in Lent. Merciful Lord, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The prayer appointed for the season of Lent. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please sit for the reading of the epistle.
This passage is a reminder of the fate of people who are determined to rebel against God. We, says Paul, should be strong to resist anything tempting us away from the life to which Christ has called us. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Suggests that God always allows us second and third chances to turn to a truly fruitful life. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Are those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish, just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit in this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig round it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus has important work to do here, in this situation that we find him in. And Jesus wastes no time in getting down to business, because as was so often the case for Jesus, time was short. He only had a limited opportunity. Those people were only going to be there for a certain period of time. Then they were going to go home. Then Jesus was going to move on to the next town or the next village, and he had to seize the moment. There was no time to duck. There was no time for any procrastination. This was going to be hard stuff, and Jesus was going to hit it head on. Jesus is warning all those around him about the need for repentance. And that, for all of us, is actually quite difficult. Jesus here in this gospel reading is challenging the assumption that bad things happen to wicked people as an expression of God's anger. And Jesus is saying God is not that type of God. And having said that, having heard to the disasters that had just happened, having heard about those people who'd lost their lives, Jesus, in a very masterly way, takes a practical example to which all his listeners could understand from what they could see around them. And he uses the image of the fig tree, to which was commonplace in biblical times, as an example to make the point he now wants to make. And that is a real gift, to take something that is there and talk about it that people can understand, rather than talking in highfalutin terms way above people's head, where they haven't got a mission what the person is saying. Jesus brings it right back to basics. Look, let's take this fig tree. You all have them. You've walked past them. You see them here in front of you. And let's talk about that. The trouble was, fig trees take many years to get established. Fig trees do not just produce fruit at a moment's notice. When they're planted, they have to be left for a while before they're going to bear fruit. And yes, they're going to need a lot of hard work, a lot of effort to get them to that point where they can bear fruit. And all of a sudden, we have this one fig tree that has been there for a few years, but it is not doing anything. In other words, it's taking up good soil. It's taking up good land, because they were quite big and they got bigger and they got bigger. And that land and that soil perhaps could be used for another fig tree that could actually be healthier and better and yield good fruit. And of course, in that sort of circumstance, the situation is not surprising. On the agenda is rip it out. Throw it away. Start afresh. Why waste any more time? And I'm sure all of us have been in situations such as that. Let it be with our garden. There's something there. Maybe a big plant or a shrub. It's not just doing very well. In fact, we have one of those in the rectory garden at the moment, and the hour of reckoning is nigh. Is it going to wake up? Is it going to, with some more TLC and perseverance from the rectory family, actually get back to life? Or will it have to be taken away? But here we can see an issue, and the answer is going to be not just exactly as people thought. Because if you rip it out, if you throw it away, well then perhaps whatever potential it may have had is not ever going to be seen. Because you've cut it out and it's gone. And it will just wither very quickly and die. But if you give it an opportunity, if you give it some more time, well then perhaps there is optimism and a possibility. In 12 months' time, it may actually yield fruit. And this is exactly the conversation that Jesus is having. He's talking about repentance. He's talking about people turning away from their previous existence, from their previous approach to life. He wants them to turn for the good. And in case they don't get it, he is talking about this fig tree. Look, there you are. What are you going to do? But notice, it's the gardener who speaks up. It's the gardener who says, put the brakes on. Let's not just be so hasty. Let's not just rush in here and rip it out. This is the person who has looked after this fig tree for all these past years. This is the person who knows something about it. And this is the person who feels that maybe with a little bit more time, it might actually all come right. And the gardener is all for giving this fig tree another opportunity. This story that Jesus is telling, very cleverly, in a very mindful way, that's connecting with all those around them in a very important form, actually gets all those around him to readjust and to reset their assumptions. And it takes, doesn't it, patience, tenderness, and time to produce fruit. Doesn't just happen overnight, and it doesn't just happen by itself. The problem we have is we live in a very fast-moving world where answers are required yesterday. Our people are moving so quickly there isn't time to think. You make a decision. And perhaps then with the benefit of hindsight, because of the speed at which we are moving, that decision perhaps is wrong. But by then, it's too late. The gardener here is saying, right, let's give this some more time. Let's come back at it again. And there is, isn't there, a real lesson for all of us in all of it. Can we slow the pace down? Can we assess the situation correctly? And can we give it the time, effort, and thought and the resources required, wherever that may be, to get the decision right, no matter what the issue? Time, patience, tenderness, important characteristics, but can be in such short supply. As we journey through these weeks of Lent, we're getting nearer and nearer to the Passion of Christ, and we're getting nearer and nearer to the cross. As Jesus makes his way to the cross, here he is telling those people around him to repent. And there's a great need for repentance. To say sorry when required. Because as Jesus hangs on the cross, as we receive forgiveness from Christ through the sacrifice of himself on the cross for us, we too are called to share that forgiveness one to another and to offer repentance. And to do that takes patience, takes tenderness, and it takes time. those very ingredients that fig tree was going to require if it was going to stand any chance of having a healthy harvest in a few months' time. So may we all, in our own lives, in our own worlds, may we reflect on what it is that Jesus is saying, because it also applies to you and to me in equal measure as it did to those around him, though we don't have fig trees in our gardens. But the principle is there. The principle is the same. Christ died for us. He forgives us, as we've just heard in the words of confession, we've said sorry. In the words of absolution, we've been forgiven. But there's more to the absolution than just forgiveness. It's all about an opportunity for a fresh start. In the words of absolution, which Canon Smith pronounced a few moments ago, there was absolution, yes. But there was also, within those words, an opportunity for a fresh start. There are ours for the taking, if we so wish. Every Sunday should be an opportunity for a fresh start, for us to reset, for us to be more focused on Christ. And as Christ gives us the love through his own ministry and the forgiveness which we will have on the cross in a few weeks' time, we too are called to share that and to give fresh starts and new opportunities to those around us. Perhaps to slow the pace down, to be more mindful of other people. And isn't that exactly what our St. Columba's 40-day challenge is all about? Taking time for fresh starts, taking time for new opportunities, and taking time to do better for God and for one another. Patience, tenderness, and time. That's what Jesus was encouraging those people around him to do as they focused on repentance and the need for repentance. May he focus us in a similar way today, and may we repent and move forward all the better for it in our proclamation of the gospel and in our service to God and to one another. The crowds understood. May we understand too, and change our lives accordingly. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed to his most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
Our response is made in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
We're using the intercessions on page 238 in the prayer book this morning and 150 in the large print book. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord, who struggled 40 days and nights in the wilderness in preparation for the end and the beginning of your work on earth, We pray fervently that you will stand alongside those who struggle today. We hold before you the people of Mozambique and East Africa in their trauma and tragedy. We think of our Muslim brothers and sisters in New Zealand, for whilst they mourn, they are fearful. And we thank you for the strength and support given to them by their Prime Minister and their fellow countrymen. Nearer to home, our hearts go out to the families in Cookstown who have lost three lovely teenagers. We ask that you will be for them the everlasting arms which are under all and supporting all. We pray for the bereaved. Grant them security and peace. As we come to a nearer communion with you, Lord, help us to be better neighbours and better friends. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. We think of those whose adherence to Christ has to remain hidden for fear of reprisals, and of the brave and selfless missionaries who leave the comforts of home to travel abroad and spread the good news to those yet to know of your wonderful gifts to us. We pray for our clergy, for Harold, our bishop, and for the clergy of this parish, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our lay reader. Continue to grant energy and enthusiasm to our rector as we approach the Easter General Vestry and the busy and joyful season of Easter. We give you thanks for those who take on the mantle of St. Columba and seek to forward your kingdom here in Knock in so many ways. We think of the vestry, the choir, and those with positions of responsibility within organisations. We specially thank you for the many who offer a caring and encouraging word to others after our services. These kind words mean such a lot. Please support June Butler, the new All-Ireland Mothers Union President, as she is commissioned in Downpatrick this afternoon for this very worthwhile task. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. Guide our rulers and give them courage to make decisions not swayed by petty sectarian or self-seeking politics, but with a desire to seek for the better good of mankind. We thank you that in spite of Brexit, the Prime Minister takes time to attend her church of a Sunday morning, as we do. May she gain wisdom, patience, and strength through worship. We ask you to bless Elizabeth, our Queen. Lord of relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. Let us be good examples of a job well done and a life well lived. Enable us to serve our families and our friends, as well as to love them, knowing that the love which binds us together knows no limitations, and that we have you as our guiding example. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of healing, we thank you for the many, many people who work tirelessly to relieve and protect those who are sick and suffering in mind, body, or spirit. We ask for your comfort and care for Bella as she faces surgery this week. We thank you for the openness which is becoming a valued part of mental health issues, and for those who are well known and are prepared to share their stories for the benefit of others. Gather to yourself, Lord, those for whom the journey becomes too tough and too much, and give comfort to all families who care for their loved ones in time of trial. Lord of eternity, we thank you for the wonderful people who have enriched our lives in times past, for the love and the fun and the things they have taught us. We thank you that they now worship with you on another shore, while we who remain entrust our whole lives to you, knowing that in time we too will come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We exchange that peace. Christ, our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate.
The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to overcome all our temptations. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him our great high priest this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Lord our God, you feed us in this life with bread from heaven, the pledge and overshadowing of future glory. Grant that the working of this sacrament within us may bear fruit in our daily lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves and to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you, now and always.
great delight to welcome many visitors to St. Columba's this morning. For those of you who are here for the first time, I hope that you have received blessing from this Holy Communion service, and do please talk to our visitors as you make your way in a few moments' time. The annual Easter General Vestry meeting takes place on Wednesday at 7:30 in the Church Hall. All are welcome, but only those who are registered can vote at the elections at that point in our proceedings. 2018 has been a year of great development and good blessing for our parish through your hard work and your support, as reflected in so many different ways. And this will all be expressed at our meeting on Wednesday evening. So I do commend that to you. You will see in the Pew News again details of Stainer's crucifixion on the 7th of April here, which is now a fortnight away, at 7 o'clock. And we are encouraging you to come along, and also to invite your neighbours and friends and family members to come along to be with you as we come collectively to enter into this wonderful choral work of the Passion of Christ. A very good way to prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Week, which should be the following week. I want to convey, and I will be doing again on Wednesday night at the Easter Vestry, my very grateful thanks to our church wardens, the Rector's Church Warden David Kelly and the People's Church Warden Richard Caldwell. Both of them have given so much to the further growth and the further development of our parish through their hard work and their great commitment, not least their conscientiousness and their attention to detail, which has helped me enormously as rector and also enabled all of our services to proceed so smoothly throughout their term of office. We do want to say to both of you, thank you very much for all that you've done, and also thank you to your wives and families for enabling you to take on extra church work and for all you've given to St. Columba's, and let's show our appreciation to them in the normal way. We now come to our final hymn, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, number 576. to love and serve the Lord.